Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of African Pioneer. Welcome back, Colin.
Hello there. Nice to hear from you again. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Colin.
Good. So today the company announced the award of an environmental clearance certificate for its Ongombo copper gold project in Namibia. The company has received the last significant permitting hurdle for the project to move towards production, initially through low-cost open pit extraction of the surface copper gold resource. The project has a combined indicated and inferred mineral resource estimate, 12.12 million tons at 1.63% copper equivalent. The company is in advanced discussions with parties that have expressed interest in non-equity based funding of the capital requirements of the project. Sounds like real progress, Colin.
Yeah, and of course, ongoing. That's not the end of the story, but it's a kind of put a circle around it for the time being. A lot of interest in this project, I think. I was going to say as much interest in the project as the country, but the country is drawing a lot of attention. It's always been seen as stable, progressive, well-managed, well-governed, transparent jurisdiction in terms of its legislation, mining legislation, other legislation. So yes, the circle's about closed, but what I'm excited about, we did inherit a stack of data, not all of it able to join up easily, but we've joined it all up now. And we've got two pluses. One is we've adjusted mining widths and looked at the effect on the mining proposition. But that has taken us into a mining method which is quite simple. An area is reasonably shallow dipping. So we're expecting quite a significant uptick in the resource, both in terms of tonnage, without in actual fact doing too much damage at all to the grade. Of course, you know, that's been a major step forward for us to find the open pit, which should be up to 1 million tons of open pitable material, which is a great start. And of course, these operations don't half benefit if you can access your underground via your open pit. You know, you do a lot of the initial entry work. So all in all, we're very, very pleased with what we got. But like I say, we're quite excited about, and what it is now works. But what it might be works very nicely, very nicely.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at this one, Colin, that this is a JORC 2012 resource, 10.4 million tons at 1.4% copper, and then a further 1.6 million tons at 1.37% copper. So what are the indicated and then inferred, and a bit of gold thrown in for good measure. So what are the prospects? Activities of that JORC resource increasing?
Oh, they're extremely, extremely good, because we've looked at sort of mining widths and the effect of adjusting mining widths on overall grade, and it's not as significant as one might have thought. But in the practical terms, if you can get anything over 1.5, you know, around about the 2 meter mining width and something relatively flat dipping, your mining challenges are reduced significantly. So you go from an open pit, which is obviously the easiest way of the lot, into a much easier mining method than previous owners of this project anticipated. And I think that, you know, our drilling, our interrogation of all the raw data has led us into a project which has got a lot more going for it than when we originally acquired it, notwithstanding the fact that the gold price is up significantly, of course, and the copper price is up significantly. You know, the effect of 0.3 grams of gold in copper equivalent terms is quite significant. And of course, we live in a time where a mixed copper gold concentrate is very well accepted by the market. And they knock off the first gram and I think pay about 94% for the remaining gold in concentrate. So it's everything really is swinging the project's way.
So what would you hope that this project looks like? You know, I mean, how many thousand tons of contained copper could this do in a year, do you think?
What would be our copper mining rate? It looks like a typical 10,000 ton a year operation. That's what we're rooting for from the start. And from Ongombo, 8 to 10 is about where we're batting.
And that includes the additional gold that you would get from this in terms of the project?
Yeah, we're talking copper equivalent, so the gold's rolled into there. The gold is about 0.3 and concentrates up very nicely.
Okay, so Ongombo moving forward on that is basically got to be worth significantly more than even the current market capitalization of African Pioneer. So how does it all add up with all the other assets and the things that you're doing with the mates with AFP?
Well, I think, you know, with the sort of state of the world as we're in now, to introduce balance into the equation isn't a bad thing. So you've got a balanced company here, a balanced focused company, a company which is in copper and gold. A company is balanced with its own project, so it can get on with the life with its own project. But also has got two joint venture projects, one in Namibia, which is extremely prospective, and we all know what's happening in the Kalahari Copperbelt. New discoveries of mineralization, models being challenged on a continual basis, new entrants, new attraction to the Kalahari. So the Kalahari story isn't finished, it's just starting. And of course, what makes us the happiest of all is our project with First Quantum, who have made terrific progress. And quite frankly, it's you couldn't have a better situation, Kevin, because, let's face it, that been postulated for God knows how many years, the Congo-style mineralization goes down into Zambia. Why shouldn't it? You know, the mineralization was there before the political borders. We're sure we've got the Komodo-style mineralization that Ivanhoe, you know, their new mine, the Komodo mine, he's the second richest in the world, copper mine in the world. We know that that extends down into our property. We know that we're also in the Western Forelands, which is similar type material to Komodo. And to the west, you've got the Kolwezi-style mineralization. Now, this Kolwezi-style mineralization is on surface. When I say on surface, you know, a few meters down. And Kolwezi had a good material, Congo-style again, of course. Not exactly the same as Komodo, but similar. And, you know, they were mining near-surface material at 2, 3%. What I do know is that when the machine, the air blast machine, which probing, looking for mineralization structures prone to mineralization, when they're really hard stuff, they were getting 2% chips. So it isn't traditional copper belt because, as you know, I discovered Colombia. They're about 70 kilometers away, and that was fairly bog standard wide widths running into about 0.59, 0.6, you know, that order. This is obviously wide and much higher grade style mineralization, not far from a producing mine, two producing mines really, Kansanshi and of course Sentinel, Kalambila. So when you think about it, that is near surface material with plenty of ball mills, an upgraded Kalambila project ready for as much ore as you can throw at it. A very nice position for our partners to be. First Quantum, a very nice position for our partners to be. And of course, if it is a nice position for them, it has to be a nice position for us. So if you look at balance, you know, we've got other companies, major companies working for us, very successful companies working for us. If you look at the Sandfire share price performance, it's getting much recognition now in Australia. First Quantum's had recognition for 15 years now. So they're beavering away for us, and we're in the same focus material. We're focused in the Southern Africa. And then we've got our own project, which is beginning to grow more legs as it goes along and get some meat on the boat. So really, Phil, Kevin, we're quite happy with the way things are panning out for African Pioneer. Post-IPO, it was slow, I know, but we're in very slow times. But it was slow in any case. Hopefully that will change and the circumstances around us will change. But looking at fundamentals, because that's all I can do. I can't control what's going off in the world at the moment. But looking at the fundamentals of African Pioneer, looking at the market cap, looking at the amount of contained copper that could occur, looking at the corporate transactions that could happen, we at African Pioneer feel that we've got a good position evolving.
Yeah. Just looking at, I mean, do you think the space is changing now? Colin obviously saw the announcement that Arc Minerals, or one, should I say, through its subsidiary Unico, had gone into a binding joint venture with Anglo-American in their Zambian assets. Do you think the space is changing now in Zambia?
It's changing all over the world. I guess I speak better for Southern Africa. I see massive change. I mean, there's more, the airplanes are full. You know, there's that Jeff Bezos, I think it is, and Bill Gates combination, the company that they're funding. That's making inroads into most of northwest Zambia, into central Zambia as well, for that matter. The old big names are back looking for ground, but I'm afraid they're looking for ground what's been taken up. We, for example, didn't start our hunt for copper last week or last year. We started in 2017. So we've been putting our position together carefully, and we haven't been looking for moose pasture. We've been looking for projects which have got real legs or potential. We like projects where the majors have had a go and had disappointment and have probably left because they don't like the country, not the project. You know, if you look at the Shinganda project, for example, in Galileo, that's Valley left, and they left behind them a wonderful project. We took the right decisions in 2017. I don't necessarily think that third-party influencers have been very kind to us, but they haven't been kind to anybody, have they, Phil? And if you sit there crying in your beer, what are you going to achieve? Absolutely nothing. So I think we I'm pretty sure, in fact, we made the right decision way back in 2017. And most of our positions now are getting towards the apex of ready for production or something too big for us to handle where we might need partners.
Yeah. It was interesting you mentioned Sandfire and the shares. I think AFP holds some Sandfire shares, do they not, as well?
That's right, yes. We've got a bunch of Sandfire shares. That was, they're 15%. Probably should have mentioned that in my little dissertation there. Sandfire, 15% shareholders in the company.
Yeah, and obviously as their shares go up, that's going to help AFP as well. I think it's a great position you're in. And I mean, there's some serious reward payments there if any of those do come off. I mean, we're talking anything from $10 million to $80 million, I think, in terms of success payments available to African Pioneer. So this would sort of, even at the very low end, would radically change the share price situation within African Pioneer.
Yeah, or just step back, as I said, and look at balance and look at commodity and look at country. A joint venture fully funded up there, and we've got our own properties as well, in Botswana. We've major discovery in Zambia, where we discovered Kamoa-style mineralization, something which is what everyone wants. Rumor machine says BHP might tie up with Ivanhoe. And then our own property coming on stream. What more in terms of single direction would you want from a small company?
Yeah, and later in the year, we had already discussed that we maybe come down and see you guys in Namibia. So this will be a great opportunity to go down and see this not far away from Windhoek.
Yeah, and then, of course, you go down to Open Gorup, and it's a similar story times two or three. You know, it really is a very, very large proposition. So we'll have a lot to show you in a country which is advanced, country which is very supportive. Very careful in who they allow, by the way, into the country to work. And then once they've allowed you in, they're pretty helpful. So it's a good jurisdiction. So I think you would really enjoy that trip and see the enormous potential stored up there.
Yep. And we've had a good move in the share price, but really only not even back to all-time highs. So still a hell of a long way to go here because it was so, what's the right word? It was being knocked back and back and back for no apparent reason. So yeah, we're just bouncing back to not even normality yet, I think.
Well, that's right. And, I've been accused for saying that, criticized for saying this. My job not to sit watching the share price every day. My job is to wait for those numbers, which I don't think are very far away, which really puts the project in a new dimension. I can't wait to announce that we've got tie-ups to start production, and I can't wait to tell the market what the processing will be and what the final tonnage and grade and output will be. So from my perspective, if I sit staring at that screen, it's suicide time. My job is, I know the assets were right when I bought them. I thought they were, of course. How can you know? But you felt good about them. I feel a lot better now. And I think we're in the right space. I think we're focused, right commodities, right country. And Kevin and Phil, that this share price business, I know that it's your life and it's my life as well. But quite frankly, it sets down and get the maximum for our shareholders. And we know this market, and you know this market, and I know this market. And it's never dark. What is it? Darkest before dawn. As they say. And boy, we've had a very, very long dark night. But I don't know, maybe it's my optimism. Long may it last. Well, I've been an optimistic person. I don't think you'd last in this business as long as I have if you weren't optimistic. And I'm seeing the shoots. I'm seeing the shoots.
Good. Well, on that note, I think we'll say, Colin, thanks very much as ever for coming on and giving us your thoughts.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Colin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.